Continue our study of Pachad Yitzchak for Purim with Inyan Vav. The Sudas Purim, which is the high point of the celebration of the Purim Suda, we sing Shoshanas Yaakov, as we sing it after the Megillah reading. And if you take a look at the Nusach of the Pizman of Shoshanas Yaakov, which was well received and spread throughout all Tfutzus Yisrael, this becomes the Zemer, it becomes the song of Simchas Purim. It's a tema because look at the Nusach. The Nusach is absolutely contradictory to what Sudas Purim is all about. What do I mean? The Gemara establishes that Sudas Purim, this is a Megillah Daf Zayin, is Chayv Adam Livsumi Adelo Yoda Bein Or Haman Lebarach Mardechai. And this is Paskin in Shulchan Aruch Tafresh Sadi He Siv Beis. And here the whole Zemer of Shoshanas Yaakov is all about the fact that we should emphasize with a special emphasis that we know the difference between Or Haman and Baruch Mardechai. Arur, Aman, Baruch, right? So why is this the expression of our avodah, so to speak, for the day of Simchas Purim, when really it's Adlo Yada? And here we're emphasizing the over and over again the distinction between Arur Haman and Baruch Mardechai. Let's emphasize something that's very fundamental, and we've mentioned in the past from time to time, that we speak about the difference between two things that look externally to be identical. And the only way we can differentiate between these two identical objects or persons or animals is by saying that there's, in pnimius, below the surface, there's some fundamental difference between the two. And in a paradoxical way, on the external, the greater the similarities on the external level, the greatest difference there is on a deeper level in pnimius. In other words, the equation or the similarity is what gives birth to the challenge of, on the one hand, seeing their similarities, but on the other hand, looking deeper below the surface to reveal their distinctions. So when these havdolos come in the Torah to distinguish two things, the greatest mitzvah havdolah applies when you have two things that look identical. And perhaps the paradigm of this is the Shnei Hasirim of Yom HaKippurim, in which one sire is sent Lazazel and the other Lashem. And how do we differentiate between this seer and this one? How do we designate one for Lashem and one for Lazazel? That's through the Goral. And the real emphasis here, the sharp point here, is that we're really shooken up here, because this Goral, the halacha requires that the two se'irim for Yom HaKippurim, one Lashem, one Lazazel, have to be shavim, bekoma, bemara, ubedomim. They have to be exactly identical. And the man who's in charge of the avoda, who buys the shnei se'irim, purchases them for the mikdash, he has to make sure that they both se'irim, both of these goats have the same value, the same mechir, and that clinches the equation, the absolute likeness between the two seerim. So they're not only equal in the physical attributes, in the size and the way they look, they're also equal in terms of their value. And he now has to take these two seerim and bring them to the Beis HaMikdash. His avodah is to compare the two and make sure they're equal. The dimyon is what makes them suitable for this mitzvah of the Shnei Asirim, the great avoda, the central avoda of Yom HaKippurim. But of course, on a deeper level, the entire mahalach here of what's going to happen with these two Seirim is just the reverse, the opposite, from one extreme to the other. Because ultimately, as a result of bringing these two Seirim, we're going to establish and clarify a total difference from one, as he said, one Avdol to the other. Because the Agrola is going to determine that one is Lashem and the other is Lazazel. So once again, we look at the similarity between them on an external level, and the likeness, the shivyon, is so great in many, many different ways, the resemblance. And then, in contrast, the halach of Havdalah through the Hagrola requires, on a deeper level, that these two goats that look identical are opposite one to the other. So the situation here of the Seirim is really a paradigm of this concept. Because the Shnei Seirim of Yom Kippur really, in a sense, goes back to Yaakov and Esav. What do I mean? The first person that's called the Ish Seir is Esav himself. And the difference between him as a sire and his brother is ultimately going to be, on a deeper level, the greatest difference that you can imagine. So any similarity between Yaakov and Esav is purely external. He calls it Sugei HaShivyon HaSholtim B'chol HaShtachim Elyonim HaTzafim Al Gabav Shel Omek Havdalah Zot. So that which, in a sense, fools the eye when you see on the outside a certain similarity. But the Pasuk says, and this Pasuk is a Pasuk in Malachi, it says, Halo Ach Esav Liyakov, V'oev Es Yaakov Es Esav Sanesi. Hashem says that these are two brothers, but yet I love Yaakov, and I hate Esav. So what could be a greater distinction between the two? So although Esav is called Ish Sayer in the Torah, and that you can look up if you're interested in Breishis Chav Zayin Pasuk Yud Aleph, and in that sense, the Pasuk in Malachi is emphasizing the Achva here, the similarity of the two twins, but on the other hand, on a deeper level, the Pasuk reveals that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has two opposite emotions with regard to these two brothers. And when we speak about the love of Yitzchak for Esav, which is a very difficult concept, difference, the contrast between Esav and Yaakov has to come through this equation, through this similarity and likeness. And the greatest, let's say, nekuda, the greatest point of hashva, of likeness or equation between the two, of Esav's similarity to Yaakov, is the love that Esav received in the house of his father. And on the other hand, the Havdalah, the greatest Havdalah that separates the two brothers, Ba'ofen Tahomi, meaning going down to the core of the earth, the most fundamental difference between the rights and the blessings that Esav receives as opposed to that of Yaakov also happens in the house of Yitzchak. And the distinction between Yaakov and Esav is inherent in the different brachos that they received from Yitzchak Avinu. And this Havdalah, this distinction between the two, can only be profound and fundamental because of the, he writes, "Bichdei shehavdalah zu tifal bi'omek, she'ein achrav omek, min ahechrich hi hoya shehavdalah hatahomis bein berchosov shel abba tisgalgil derech hashva." So the key words here are Havdalah and Hashva, and they work together in tandem. And where do we see the great Hashva, the great equation between the two? the equalizer, was the Ava of Yitzchak. And from this Ava of Yitzchak, which created this equation between Yaakov and Esav, comes or develops the Havdalah, the endless separation between the bracha that Yaakov receives and the bracha that Esav receives. So the whole development of the story of the brachos, the episode of the brachos, comes from the Ava, the love of Yitzchak to both. That's the beginning of it all. And the greatest Havdalah comes from the Hashva of the highest level, the loftiest level, which is in this case the Ava of Yitzchak. And in this whole vision, we see that with regard to the Avodas Hayom, which is of Purim, is Mechias Amalek, Mechias Zaro Shel Amalek. This whole vision is going to come to fruition in that mitzvah. When we say that on Purim, we have to get drunk, Ad Lo Yoda, Chayv Anus L'Psume, we think that this drunkenness is the very essence of Itzumo Shel Yom HaPurim. But if that be the case, then we're making a mistake. But rather, the development of Purim is the following. This is the day of Mechias Zaro Shel Esav. We have to destroy Esav. And the fire here, in order to reach its apex, is the fire, the Shalheves, he calls it, of the Havdalah, the distinction between Yaakov and Esav. But this distinction, this Shalheves, can only rise as a burning fire if it catches on to the very similarity, the depths of Shivyon, Hashva, between these two items or entities that being separated one from the other, these two personalities. So we get drunk until we don't know the difference between Ar Haman and Baruch Mardechai. At that moment, we really experience a hashva'ah, an equation between the two, because we don't know the difference between them. At that moment, we're ready to reach the apex of Avodas Yom HaPurim. We have now reached the level through Ad Lo Yoda of that man who is in charge in the Beis HaMikdash, the time of Yom Kippur, to work very hard with all his energy to find the similarity between the Sar Lashem and the Sar Zazazel in those three ways of Marek, Koma, and Domit. So just as that man who buys and purchases the two Seirim, that's his job, his responsibility is to procure these two identical Seirim, he reaches the level of Adelo Yada, he can't distinguish between one Seir and the other. That's the Adelo Yada of Yom HaKippurim, and Purim is Kippurim, also has its Adelo Yada, in which we work very hard to get to the point in which we have an absolute equation between the Ara and the Baruch, so that now we can complete the process, bring it to fruition. And just like on Yom HaKippurim, this Arur, Sar Lazazil, and Baruch Sar Lashem, that really separates them as fundamentally as possible. And we really are re-experiencing that on Yom Purim when we reach the level of Hashva through Ad Lo Yada, and in a sense, we at that point are Davuk, we are in a sense protected by the Schus of Yitzchak Avinu, because Yitzchak Avinu through his Ava reached a certain Ad Lo Yada, which again is a very precarious and dangerous kind of situation. But the Schus of Yitzchak is what protected that Hashva so that it wouldn't undermine the future of Klal Yisrael. And although it was a very dangerous enterprise, at the end, because of the Schus of Yitzchak Avinu, what came out was the bracha to Yaakov, as opposed to the bracha to Esav that separates them as to polar extremes. So we need on Yom Purim Kippurim, we also need that Tzchus of Yitzhak Avinu, that when we reach the level of Adlo Yada, then Chas V'Shalom, we shouldn't be derailed. And because of this great danger in the Avodah of equating the two, we should not, Yevshalonu Lachos Bo B'Shum Zman Acher. We're not going to dedicate the whole of Purim, the whole 24 hours of Purim, to this very dangerous Hashva'ah of Adlo Yada. We're going to focus that Adlo Yada on the Sudas Purim. The Sudas Purim is Bechinas Tov Lev HaMelech by Yayin, if you take a look at Esther and Perek Aleph. And the Tov Lev HaMelech represents the Melech Malko Shel Olam. The Malko Shel Olam is Tov Libo Shel Malko Shel Olam by Yayin, and that Yayin is the Yayin of Havdolah, which is Mavdil Ben Yisrael Liamim. That's where we'll be protected by the Melech at the Sudas Purim, that despite the Adlo Yada, we'll be able to reach the level of Havdalah to appreciate the difference between Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai. And that's why the Pizmon of Shoshanis Yaakov was widely accepted as the Pizmon of Simchas Purim, because this represents the Havdalah that sets up the Soyer HaChutz LaZazel and the Soyer HaPnimi L'Kedusha LaShem. And there can be no Hagrola unless there's a Shivyon, an equation between the two Seirim. And here too, through the Avoda of Chayv Adam Livsumi Adlo Yada, we achieve that equation of the two Seirim. And now we're ready for Shoshanis Yaakov, Tzahola V'Samecha. Look at Inyan Zion. The halach is that Megillah Esther needs Sirtut. You have to make the lines. And this is derived in the Gemara Megillah Daf Tezayin Amid Beis from a Pasuk. But before we see the Pasuk, the Gemara says the following. Megillah tzricha sirtut ke'amita shel Torah, which literally translates as the truth of the Torah, means it has the same status as the Torah, and just like a Sefer Torah needs sirtut, so does the Megillah. Where do we derive this from? The Gemara Megillah derives it from a pasuk at the end of Megillah's Esther on Perek Tes. It says, Divrei Shalom v'emes, that the Megillah is described as emes, words of truth. And that equates the Megillah with a Sefer Torah to require Sirtut. Let's think about this phrase, Ka'amita Shel Torah. Obviously, the din of Megillah has the din of Sefer Torah. The status is equal to Gabi Sirtut. But why do you have to add Ka'amita Shel Torah? Does this phrase, Ka'amita Shel Torah, allude to something, some deeper meaning that could shed a light on the entire Megillah? Now, let's talk about Rashi in Masechta Megillah over there on Tes Zayin. Rashi says, and this will help clarify why we need a separate Yalfusa Legabe Sirtut. Why not derive Sirtut from the fact that it's a Sefer, and every Sefer requires Sirtut? So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Halo hapirushu shedina megillin yin sirtut kisefer Torah. That the law, the status of Megillah, as far as sirtut, is the same as the Sefer Torah. So just like a Sefer Torah requires, let's say, gvil and klaf, it also requires sirtut. So too, a Megillah requires all the above. Why do we need a separate Yalfus? So we know that, for example, with regard to Gvil and Klaf, since Megillah is called a Sefer, and the status of Megillah as a Sefer engenders a chiyuv, a requirement of Gvil and Klaf, it should also engender a requirement of Sirtut. And Tosus offers the following answer. And again, this whole idea that the same way we learn all of the halachas of Gvil and Klaf that apply to a Sefer Torah, we can apply that to Megillah. That's a sugya Megillah on Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. Now, Tosfos in Masechta Menachos on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis and other Rishonim asked this question that we referred to before: why do we need a separate Yalfusa to derive the halacha of Sirtut? And Tosfos answers that Sefer could only teach the halachas of Klaf, of Gvil. But Sirtut doesn't belong to the Klaf and the Gvil, which is the essence of a Sefer, but rather to the Osios, to the letters that are written on top of the Klaf. And therefore we need a separate Yalfusa, a source, to derive the halach of Sirtut in Megillah. And how do we derive that halacha? Because the Megillah is called Emes, right? Divrei Shalom, the Emes, and Emes tells us Kamita Shel Torah. So we want to spend a little time analyzing the concept of Emes, and perhaps we'll be able to understand better what is the connection between Emes and the halach that's derived from Emes of Sirtut. Now, Emes, of course, is the opposite of Kazav, Chaf Zayin Bet. And what does the word Kazav mean? It's a Dovar HaNifsak. Where do we see this? Rashi, in Parshas Vayeshev, when it speaks about the birth of Binyamin, by Rachel, it says, Vahaya Bechziv. And Vahaya Bechziv indicates, according to a Rashi learns it, the termination, a Dovra Nifsak. Therefore, the concept of Emes, which is the antonym, of course, of Kozov, is fundamentally a Dovra HaMiskayim La'ad, something that doesn't lend itself to termination. It continues endlessly. And that we'll see also in the Gemara and Shabbos on Daf Kuf Dalet. That Emes is something that begins, it has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an end. Meaning, Emes is made up of the three representative parts of the Aleph base. The Aleph, of course, the first letter, the Mem is the middle letter, and the Tav is the last letter. Which basically means that Emes is something that's ready to continue endlessly until the very end, without any interruption. Now, if we look in Yirmiyah, in Sefer Yirmiyah, in Lamed Aleph, where he speaks about Hinei Yomim Ba'im, he speaks about the vision of the ultimate Geula at the end of days. It says, "For Karati is Beis Yisrael veSpace Yehuda Bris Chadasha, Lo Kibris Asher Karati es Avosam Biyom Hachziki Biyodam Lo Tzio Meretz Mitzrayim Ki Zos Habris Asher Ani Echros Nasati Es Torasi VeKirbam VeSlibam Akasvena." Excuse me, V'al Libam Akasvena. So we're talking about the ultimate bris in the Achris HaYomim, in which Hashem takes the Torah and he writes it on the hearts of the Jewish people. Al Libam Echtevena. Is Yirmiyah is foretelling the time period in which there'll be a chiddush with regard to klaf of Sefer Torah, instead of requiring a physical klaf, the lave of man will be a klaf. However, if the klaf is different, between now, Sefer Torah Klaf, and the end of days when it's Lev Shel Adam. But with regard to the Osios of Torah will not lend themselves to any sort of change. That would be impossible. Is Mimela, we can interpret the Gemara that we started with, Tzricha Sirtut Kamita Shel Torah. The Sirtut, insofar as we've seen in Tosis, relates to the Osios and not to the Klaf, is that part of Torah that has no Shaychas to Shinui, which means the Osios, is Kamita Shel Torah, all the halachas of Osios that apply to a Sefer Torah will now apply to a Megillah, to Megillus Esther, by virtue of the fact that Megillus Esther is called Emes, right? Divrei Shalom V'Emes. This has nothing to do with the Klaf, because the Din of Sirtut is not in the Klaf. The Din of Sirtut also establishes in the Osios. And the Osios represents something that doesn't lend itself to any change or any termination. And the Chiddush of Emes is just like Emes is something that's B'li Hefseg. It begins and it ends. As Emes teaches you Sirtut, the halacha of the Osios, because the Osios belong to that part of the Sefer Torah which is Mufka, it's completely excluded from Shinui. It doesn't change, it's continuous, it's endless, and that's the Osios, as opposed to the Klaf. And the Din of Sirtut, which is a Din of the Osios, is going to be extended to Megillus Esther through the Pasuk Emes, because Emes means that the Megillah is the book of Emes. It doesn't have any termination, it doesn't have any change, it's like the Aleph Mem Tov of Emes that begins and ends, it's continuous. And this is what we should be feeling in our heart. Again, it's all an illusion, it's all alluded to, it's not explicit. When the lave of a person is like the cloth of a Sefer Torah, that the words and the letters of the Megillah, in the same sense, should be written on the lave of a human being, of a lave of Israel. His lave now serves as a cloth. And that's what we learn from the word emes. I'd like to study with you in Inyan Ches, the Gon. The Vilna Gon says that we have a principle with regard to Yontif that Chetzio Lashem v'Chetzio Lachem. And this is based on a Sugyan Beitz Adav Tes Zayin Dav Tes Vavim in Beis, which means that we divide up the day of Yontif half to Torah and Tefillah and half to eating and drinking. This is true for every Yontif with the exception of two Yomim Tovim, and they represent the two polar extremes. One exception to the rule is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is Kula Lashem. The other exception is Purim, which is Kula Lachem. However, on a deeper level, we could say that there's no Yotzeh Min HaKlal. It's not an exception. Because Yom Purim is like Yom Kippurim, which means the two of them together form one Moed. And that Moed encompasses both Purim and Yom Kippur. And therefore, when we put the two together, what we have is one single day, which is Chetzio Lashem and Chetzio Lachem. This is the Gaon, which you'll find in Likutei Agra, which is published about 100 years ago in Varsha. Now, what we want to look at is the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that b'shas cheshbonim ha'avos alados chatoi abonim tei tanosa shel Yitzchak Avinu palgo alai u'palgo alecha. The Gemara describes how each one of the avos, in a sense, gives up, if you will, despairs to save Klal Yisrael because they're in such a level that Hashem says maybe they should be destroyed. It's Yitzchak Avinu, who's the only one who comes forward and he offers to take half of the chatoim onto himself. And Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer, author of the Pri Yitzchak, one of the great shining lights of the Mus movement, interprets that Gemara in Shabbos, Adaf Pei Tesem and Beis, in the following way. What was Yitzchak claiming, what was he arguing when he said to Hashem, Chetzia alive and Chetzia alecha? And he says he was referring to a statement in the Gemara, in Brachas Daf Yud Zayin, where the Gemara offers different philos that were authored respectively by different Amoraim. One of them is, Ritzoneinu lasos ritzonecha, our true genuine will is to fulfill your will, in other words, Lamaisa befall, as we'd say, why don't we fulfill your Ratzon Hashem? It's not because we don't have the Ratzon, we don't have the will to fulfill your will, our will with a small W and Hashem's will with a capital W. On the contrary, we have a deep and profound will and desire to fulfill your will, God. But we don't have the ability to take this will and overcome all those barriers that weaken our koach, our power. So the will is there, but there are so many powers that are so profound and are ma'akev us, they try to prevent us. That's why we're not able to fulfill your will. And that's called the Sa'ar Shebe'isa and Shibud Malchis. These are the two major barriers that prevent us from fulfilling your will. And the Pachad Yitzchak presents the thesis that these two barriers are really fundamentally the distinction between Palga Olai u Palga Olecha. What it means is the following. We have number one, Sa'ar Shebe'isa. The Sa'ar Shebe'isa, which prevents us from fulfilling the will of Hashem, that's your business, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have set up that ikuv, that barrier of the Sa'ar Shebe'isa. And on that, Palga Olecha. But there's a second barrier, which is Shibud Malchios. Is that's Ani Garamti Lecha. That, in a sense, is coming from Esav. The Pasuk in Malachim says, V'ata sevoses livam achoranis. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we derive from this Pasuk, Hodolo. He admitted that this is true. And that's Palga Olech. But Palga Olai, Yitzchak Avinu, as the father of Esav, takes upon himself Palga, which is called Shibud Malchis. And this is the Chiddush, the insight of Rabbi Tzela Blazer, Zichrono Livracha. And basically we can come back to the Gaon and speak about the integration of Purim with Yom HaKippurim into one day. And that's the Mechtza Lashem u'Mechtza Lachem. The relationship between Yom Kippur and Purim is really the sod of Palga Olai and Palga Olecha. What does that mean? There's one entity, one perfect whole, which is made up of two halves. And that perfection, that integration of the two, is really the cry that comes from the depths of one's soul, of Ritzoneinu lasos Ritzonecha. These two halves that form a whole are really two different claims about the Sa'ar Shebe'isa and the Shibud Malchus. And here's where there's an integration of both Purim and Yom HaKippurim. Because the distinction of this one entity into two Zmanim removes the Cheshbin of these two Ma'akvim. Yom HaKippurim is coming to remove, to be mevatel, the Sa'or Shabisa, which, as we said before, is a reference to that part of Palga Olai, of Palga Olecha, in which Hashem is considered the Goreim of Sa'or Shabisa. On Yom Kippur, that Sa'or Shabisa is not activated, if we could use that term. Because Yom Kippur is mevatel the Sa'or Shabisa. There's no Isa that's fermenting on Yom HaKippurim. It means that the power of the Satan, which, as we said before, is something divinely created, is completely removed. He has no power on Yom HaKippurim. And the source for such a statement is the Gemara in Yuma and Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, Ein koach ha-satan lahastin b'yom ha-kippurim. So that's how on Yom Kippur we remove the barrier, which is called the Sa'ar Shabi'isa. That Sa'ar Shabi'isa is completely voided. And now on Yom Kippur, we stand without any physical element. All the physicality of our body and all its demands are completely stripped. They're completely taken away. On Purim, on the other hand, the power of Esav, which is the power of Shibud Malchius, is completely nulled and void. Nifka kocho shel Esav milashabed. Why? Because, as the Pasuk says in Esther Perkhes, Nofal Pachad HaYehudim Aleihem. Nofal Pachad HaYehudim Aleihem is the reference to the detonation, if you will, of the power of Esav. He can no longer be Meshabidus. The Shibud Malchius is completely removed. Is Mimele, when we take these 2 days together, Yom HaKippurim and Yom Purim, we have the ultimate sense of removing all the barriers that prevent us from implementing the Ratzon Hashem, because that is our true, genuine, deep Ratzon. The Yom HaKippurim part of it is the Palga Olecha. That's what we call Chetzya Lashem. Palga Olecha means you are the generator, so to speak, of the Satan, and we, through our observance of Yom HaKippurim, we give you back your Chetzya. That's called Chetzya Lashem. And as a result, you put a stopping, you press the stop button on the Satan Hamastin. Now Purim, on the other hand, is Palga Olai, because Purim is a reference to the power of Esav and the Shibud Malchius, and that's called the Chetz Yolachem. The Chetz Yolachem is our part in this whole Ikuv. So Purim, there's a siluk of the last Ma'akev that prevents us from reaching Ritzoncha, Ritzoneinu Lasos Ritzonecha. Why doesn't the Ritzoneinu Lasos Ritzonecha come to fruition? Well, the answer is because although on Yom HaKippurim the Chetz Yol Hashem was achieved in order to remove the Ma'akev of the Sa'ar Shabi'isa, which is the Satan, but nevertheless, it takes Purim as the second half to complete the process, and in this case, the Chetz Yol Hashem, by removing the Shibud Malchus aspect. Is therefore Megillas Esther is really Nizgala HaHester Shal HaRotzen HaPnimi Lasos Ritzonecha. The essence of Purim really is to reveal that which is concealed, that which is dormant and inherent within us of Ritzoneinu Lasos Ritzonecha. That comes to fruition, that becomes surface level, that surfaces on Yom Purim. And therefore Yom Purim as a completion of Yom HaKippurim, which according to the Gra, the two parts of one whole, is the day of Ritzoneinu Lasos Ritzonecha. So Mirtz Hashem Linedah, next time we'll try to learn Inyan Tes, which is a little bit longer of a mimer, and perhaps we'll get to Inyan Yud as well, Ken Yiratzon.